This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for it's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. And man, do we have a special treat for you listeners today. My good friend Justin Lofton is going to be on the show. And this is one of those, when I started this podcast and I decided, you know what, we're going to still do the Down and Dirty National Show, but we have so many amazing personalities in off-road. We've got to showcase them. You know, obviously we've brought you Ryan Arciero, Marty Fioca, you know, the Martelli brothers, Joey D. We've done some stuff last week with CJ Hutchins, Brian Deegan, but this Justin Lofton interview is one of those. I'm like, I need to sit down with Justin Lofton. I got to tell his story. Guy's gone and raced NASCAR. He's been all over the place 3 times. He's, you know, got the trifecta at the Mint 400 with overall victories. I'm like, we have to tell this story, and I'm bringing you Justin Lofton this week. It does not disappoint. So thank you all for tuning into the show. You know, welcome here. Obviously, check us out on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button. Really help us out. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Leave a rating or review. If you do that, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username at the body of the review. I'll see it, and I'll follow you back on social media. Check us out on the web, downanddirtyshow.com. Got the national show on Tuesdays, the off-road edition Wednesdays, and Thursdays I've got Project Action on Podcast One, kind of my fun podcast where I interview just about anybody and everybody. So a big weekend off-road this week, man. You know, if you're tuning in after the fact, things have probably already passed by, but man, things are getting fired up and ready to roll. We've got just wrapping up, obviously, Silver State 300 with the best in the desert. We got Lucas Oil south of the border at Estero Beach for a doubleheader. We've also got the Overland Expo in Flagstaff, Arizona, and then in Moab we've got Rally on the Rocks. So man, a lot of off-road events happening, not just for the competition side, but just for, you know, people who like to go out and just enjoy off-roading. So, yeah, we'll have a lot of coverage of that stuff in the coming weeks as well. But, thank you guys once again for tuning in. We are, you know, I don't know, I guess probably just going to cut right to the chase here with Justin Lofton. Man, it does not disappoint, this interview. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So we're going to take a short break. We come out of that, man, it will be all Justin Lofton for the duration of this show. So hang tight. It's going to be a fun one.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media. to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Okay, I'd like to welcome my guest this week to the show, Justin Lofton, man. Good to catch up. I know you're on a bit of a winning streak right now, so I guess it's always a good time to catch up with you, but welcome to the show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So I got to ask, this is actually a number one question, and I don't actually know this, and my brother's like, you got to ask Justin this, and this was not going to be my lead question, but you never know what I'm going to lead with. How many trophy trucks do you have? Do you have two? Because he's telling me, he's like, no, he's got two, and I'm like, I think Justin's only got one. I know they got his dad's buggy, but how many trophy trucks do you guys actually have in the shop?
So I've done a pretty good job at hiding that.
No, you have, dude. You've done a really good job.
Yeah. So we actually have two. We have the original truck that we call Badco, and that's the truck that's won the Mint all three times. And then shortly, I guess it was a year after that, we built the first one. We started a second one, and that one we call Fury. And Fury has been very furious and has not cooperated like we have wanted. And that's the truck that we lost the motors in and had transmission trouble and just has not cooperated. So we have two Jimco trophy trucks and the buggy, the black pre-runner, and then, a razor or two here and there that we won at the Min. And we got a shop full of stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. What's the biggest difference? Because I know they're both Jimco trucks. And I know, like, you go back way back to, like, the first Jimco truck that Robbie Pierce got back when, Jimco first got into trophy trucks. And today, I mean, they're vastly different. But yours are built kind of close to each other. I know, so does one have a sequential gearbox, I believe, and one's just your typical trophy truck, like Turbo 400, right? I mean, what's the biggest differences in the trucks?
Yeah, so that's how they were built. One was built with a sequential gearbox in it, and I guess you'd say more typical Dugan's motor, and then we put the sequential gearbox in it, and it would be the first one of what I guess Jimco would call their Gen 3 trucks.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's actually would even be a Gen 4 truck. We actually own, so J1 that Robbie Pierce has, and that was actually – our very first trophy truck, and we were partners with Adam Mike Jolson. And then the second trophy truck that Robbie Pierce had owned that Rob McCacken was driving back in the Rockstar days, we actually owned that truck for a short period of time. And that was so that would have been Gen 2 J1. And then now we have J1, Gen 4, and actually J3 of Gen 4. With Billy Wilson having the one in between my two trucks. Biggest difference is we built one truck with the sequential gearbox. The second truck we went with the Ford, the Roush Yates Ford motor with a automatic behind it, and then we kind of took our time building it. We did a lot more low CG stuff to the truck, and then when they were building it, they just learned easier ways to do things.
Yeah.
For example, my first truck takes an hour plus in special tools to take the steering box out of. My second truck, we can change a steering box in less than 20 minutes, and we can do that out on the race course with no special tools. So that's really the biggest difference between the two trucks.
Yeah, well, and, you know, all this being said, you're sitting here, you're winning races in a two-wheel drive truck. I know you just jumped in for Silver State with a different truck that, out of your, different than what you're normally driving. But What's your take on all this with trophy trucks now? And, you know, talking about all-wheel drive, and, you know, you hear these crazy numbers guys are building, and here you are with traditional two-wheel drive trucks still winning. I mean, what's your take on where we're headed in trophy truck, man?
Higher, much higher. It's getting way more expensive every year to race. You know, everyone's stepping up their game, whether, you know, it's nicer parts, nicer trucks, four-wheel drive trucks, two-wheel drive trucks with bigger motors in them. There's definitely, you know, the sport I wouldn't say is more, you know, it's evolving. It's actually not even evolving. It's progressing.
Yeah.
And, guys are wanting to go faster and, you know, my take on it is until I am no longer competitive in an all-wheel drive, you know, with a two-wheel drive truck against an all-wheel drive truck, we're not even going to look at it on our level. You know, if someone wants me to go drive one, I'd be more than happy to, and I'd go out and, you know, do the best I can and hopefully win some races. But, as far as my personal side of it is, it's still off-road racing. You still got to get to the finish line. And besides a race here or there, you know, it's just more parts to break and more parts to prep and a bigger bill at the end of the day. And, you know, this is regardless of what it looks like, you know, a lot of these are still family funded deals. And you know, we all only have so much to spend.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's truth right there that you're talking about, you know, because I look at it and I go, like, some of these budgets, and I know from a lot of these teams, like, you know, it's funny because you went down the NASCAR route, well, which we'll get to in a minute. And, you know the cost of running, you know, a stock car program for a year and stuff like that. And I start looking at some of the trophy truck budgets and what guys are spending to go race the trophy truck for a year. And I'm like, man, we're getting kind of in the same ballpark here. But, yeah, there's a whole lot less media going on around off-road. Like, you know, at some point, I'm like, well, we got something's got to come back in the level here, right?
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. I mean, I wouldn't say we're a low budget team by any means, but we sure, you know, I don't race with a helicopter. I don't race with, you know, 75 support guys and a lot of fancy equipment. We put all our money we can into our trucks and, you know, getting what we need to be competitive on the racetrack. And then, you know, if I have some money left over in the budget to hire a couple more guys to come down to a race or bring out a film helicopter or something like that, we do it. But, you know, we're still spending a whole lot of money keeping these trucks going down the road. You know, I can't imagine what some of these guys are spending. I see what they bring down. I know what it costs, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of getting to be bonkers, man. Well, I kind of want to go back to the beginning because, you know, we'll talk about kind of trophy truck and where you're at and some of these race wins and stuff like that in a minute. But kind of want to go back into the beginning because – you're one of those guys, like, you were a dirt kid just like me. I mean, you grew up, your dad was, you know, your dad was racing. He's accomplished his own, right? I mean, shit, he's the only guy I know that, like, just decides up and, you know, we're going to show up to Parker in the car that I haven't raced in a while, and we're just going to go and win. You know, like, how badass is your old man to do something like that, you know? But that being said, I mean, how was your, like, what was kind of your gateway? Like, you grew up here, but you're one of the guys, like, you know, like a Robbie Gordon or, I mean, there's been a few, like, you and I, before we kind of jumped on air, we talked about Ryan Arciero, and he kind of went down that pavement racing path. But how did you go from, like, being an off-road kid to be like, hey, man, I think I see some doors opening up over here? I mean, how was that progression in your career? Because you're probably like me when you're growing up, you're just like, hey, man, I'm going to be an off-road racer, right?
Yeah, my life has definitely taken a lot of turns. And I mean, I did a lot of downhill mountain biking and my dad was racing, but he was busy growing our cattle business. So there wasn't really time, you know, in the area I grew up in, we didn't have trophy carts. We didn't have all these cool toys that these kids have. It was a pedal bike, maybe a, you know, like a Honda 50 quad or a Suzuki 80 quad or a little 80, you know, YZX 80 or something like that. So it wasn't all, you know, all the toys and what the kids got to grow up with that are racing now. So, you know, my career started on two wheels. It started on a pedal bike, racing BMX and downhill. You know, one thing led to another. I had basically, you can say, a life-changing injury. I broke my femur and it was a pretty bad wreck and took me quite a few years to recover from it. So, by then I was 16, had a driver's license, ready to drive. And, You know, one lucky trip pre-running with my dad in Mexico introduced me to a guy named Gabe Smith. He runs the Red Bug down at the Nora race, and he ran Sonora this year. And he was an accomplished Pikes Peak racer, and he was looking to retire. And it kind of worked out that I was able to fit in his seat and did some racing for him. And he's personal friends with Jack Roush. And of course, you know, Sunday afternoons I spent with my grandpa watching NASCAR races. And, you know, one thing led to another. Next thing you know, I was buying a late model, going late model racing in Irwindale, went Grand National Racing, NASCAR Grand National Racing for a couple of years. And then it was, you know, I was 21 years old and time to move east and found an ARCA ride. And one thing led to another, and, you know, moved, living back east for 6 years.
Yeah. How was that too? I mean, you know, like, I think a lot of people, you know, they see like, hey, you can be successful in off-road or this and that, but I mean, you were highly successful in ARCA. And I mean, I just look at, you know, look at your career and stuff like that. Like, you know, how is NASCAR? Because, you know, a lot of people want to think, oh, you know, talent always moves to the top. Well, I think that's the truth, but truth be told, I mean, you've got wins in, you know, in trucks. I mean, you obviously you've got an ARCA championship. Like, you know, how is that whole NASCAR situation, man? It's still, it's just like anything else, right? It's just a, if you've got the money, you're going to end up in Cup, right? I mean, it's got to be really, really tough to just rely on your talent there, right?
So, I mean, there's definitely, there's two ways to look at it for sure. I mean, you definitely have to have the backing behind you, whether it's, you know, financially or, you know, family money or sponsor money. Everyone, regardless of what it looks like on TV, everyone that's at the top level of, you know, the top three levels of NASCAR, they're there for a reason. You know, there are definitely some people that maybe are above their head, but have the financial ability to do it. But everyone there is a really good race car driver. I don't discredit, you know, any one of them at any time because I was there, I raced against them. I mean, yeah, we'll just use Danica Patrick as, you know, as an example. She went out and crashed a car every week in just about, but she's still a hell of a race car driver. Yeah. And, you know, she definitely was there for a reason. You know, someone thought that it, you know, she had the ability to do it, just like some of the guys that are racing today. They excel throughout the different levels. You know, that's one thing different from off-road racing to any other racing is, any other racing, you have to, there's a stepping stone and you can't just walk into what you want. You can't just go and get in a Cup car with zero experience, where in off-road racing, if you have the money, you can just go buy a trophy truck and go line up at the Mint 400. So it's, you know, everyone there, stock car racing has proven themselves. Yeah, some, you know, some are still gaining experience and, you know, it's just a matter of time. That before those guys really shine. And I'll tell you one that's really surprised me is Tyler Reddick. I raced against him and he was 16, 17 years old. And I could tell you, he couldn't drive a straight line down a back straightaway. And, you know, kids won a couple Xfinity championships. He's won races. He did a hell of a job in Kansas in a Monster Energy Cup car last weekend. And, you know, it just goes to show it just some drivers mature at different times. You know, I'd say I'm one of them right now. I'm 33 years old, and I think living, you know, driving better than I've ever driven.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and that all being said, I mean, like we talked about, you had a really, you know, I would say pretty successful stock car career for, you know, for a kid from the Southwest moving back to Charlotte, you know, ARCA championship, you proved you could win in trucks. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have never taken a victory in the top three, you know, series. You know, that being said, I mean, that had to have been a pretty, was it bittersweet, like moving back? And I know you went kind of from there to like Stadium Super Truck and you did that. And that was probably a good transition just because there was a mix of dirt and pavement. But was it kind of bittersweet being like, you know what, maybe this NASCAR thing isn't going to pan out. Let's go back to the Southwest.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, it was definitely rough. It was a rough, you know, I'd say the couple of years after I decided to move home were, you know, were a pretty tough time. The best thing about stock car racing and any kind of national series, touring series racing is, you become a family with the guys you race with. I mean, my crew and I spent more time together than they did with their own family. So we became a family and the friendships are, you know, they're lifelong. I still stay in touch with quite a few of my crew guys and quite a few of the guys that I raced with. And, You know, and some have gone off and done other things. Some are still racing stock cars or owning teams now. But you just, the bonds you form when you're touring around the country together is like none other. And I definitely miss that off-road racing, you know, racing five times a year and it's still being somewhat of a hobby sport. You just don't get that connection. So that's definitely the thing I miss. And it took a couple of years, I'd say, to recover from it. I might have disappeared off the map for a while just to break that drug addiction almost.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I mean, it's fun now. I'm a huge fan of stock car racing. I'm a huge fan of all kinds of racing now. I was watching the Grand Prix from Indy on Sunday. I watched the Monster Energy Cup race Saturday night. I stayed up, you know, I'm living in Texas now, so I stayed up till 10, 11 o'clock whenever it was over. And I was into every lap of it. It was a great race. We need all forms of motorsports to be successful because it just makes the next one that much, you know, that successful along with it. So just elevate the whole sport in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, all that being said, I mean, obviously we know you can wheel a, you know, truck. You've got friends still in there. I mean, is there a chance, you know, you're, like you said, you're 33, you still got a lot of gas in the tank. Well, definitely an off-road, but I think, you know, in say NASCAR, I mean, chance maybe somebody calls for a one-off in a truck or something. Hey, we need a driver and we know Justin can wheel, you know, you open to that? Or you think that'll happen at some point? Maybe. I mean, you've got to still have your feelers out or at least know some people in that industry a bit.
Heck yeah. No, my phone is always open and I actually got to get back in a Grand National East car last April, I think it was, for a friend of mine, Mark Rhett, who owns Rhett Jones Racing, and they filled a Canaan East car and an ARCA car, and their driver had I think he was a senior in high school or something and had a final. So I jumped in and went and did a test at Gateway Motorsports Park for 2 days with him, and It took me about five laps, and I was right back up to speed, right where I needed to be, and had the car, you know, had an awesome setup for them, and they were fast in the race until they had a spring break or something kind of goofy, but I proved to everyone that I can still get in and I can still do it, and believe me, if I see a 704 number come up on my phone, I answer it just in case.
You never know, right? Well, I know kind of the transition when you kind of came back to off-road. You spent some time there with Robbie Gordon's series there with Stadium Super Trucks. How was that? Because you were actually in the first, the first year of it. You had that. I mean, that was kind of the iconic year. And I know things have kind of shifted, you know, gears with Stadium Super Trucks, and he's doing a little bit different. But that was quite a crazy year there. I mean, because it was you and Robbie and I believe McCachran. You guys had this crazy shootout, you know, and that was when it was still kind of finding itself and finding its way. I mean, how was that to be a part of that? I know you raced again in 2014 a little bit and, you know, and done some one-offs and stuff like that. But how was that? That had been a kind of a good transition for you, though, just because it was a mix of a bunch of different stuff.
For sure. I mean, I think I was fast qualifying at Phoenix at the very first Stadium Super Truck race. And that's cool. That was a lot of fun getting to race in those stadiums, being able to get experience of that. My asphalt background really showed at Long Beach when we did the first road course. I think I beat everyone by like 13 or 14 seconds. And that's when Robbie imposed the mid-race caution because I stunk up the show, as he told me afterwards. And then, you know, being able to race in the L.A. Coliseum, I mean, how many people get to say they've done that? I mean, there's only a few that were back in the Mickey Thompson days. So getting to experience that kind of stuff was cool. There was definitely that NASCAR-type, you know, touring bond because everyone was together. We were going to race, I think, 12 or 15 times that year. So it was a lot of fun that way. And when things transitioned and it went to more road course style racing, I found it fun. I think those trucks were way more fun on the road courses than they were in the stadiums. They're big tire, high horsepower trucks. I mean, yeah, they're little, but they like to go fast. I mean, I think we were 130 something miles an hour in Toronto on the backstretch. So, to me, that was a lot of fun. That was the only, with the Stadium Super Truck Series, that was the only chance really I was ever going to have to be able to compete in an X Games So being able to say I was an X Games athlete for 1 year was you know, absolutely a dream come true. And so it was, I mean, it was definitely a great experience, and it would be a lot of fun to get back in one, but I could tell you my back thanks me every day that I'm not in one.
Oh, for sure, man. So you know, obviously the Stadium Super Truck stuff's going on. I know at that same point, that was when you were still in the Class 1 car, I believe, right? I mean, you had a hell of a run there in the Class 1 car. You were just destroying everybody, man.
Yeah, the little black buggy was treating us good. I think for about 3 years, we won, we won 4 out of 6 races for 3 or 4 years in a row. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to come away with a Best in the Desert championship any of those years, because I always seen the races that I needed to win. I just had some kind of trouble. So it was a good time, and it was definitely time to move up to the trucks. And, so we ended up moving up, building a Jimco truck in 2015. And, I guess here we are right now.
Yeah. Well, and how was that move? Because I know, and kind of the industry was shifting at that point, kind of out of the buggies and more towards trophy trucks and now 6100s and stuff like that. But, like, your dad, I mean, he was always known as a buggy guy. I mean, Bob Lofton, it was just, he was a buggy guy. It's kind of like Bob Gordon. He was a buggy guy. He just wasn't a truck guy, And that's not saying that's good or bad. Like, just people associated Bob Lofton with a badass Class 1 driver. How was that for you guys to all of a sudden go, yeah, I think we're going to shift from the buggies to the trucks?
It was a hard choice. I mean, it was, when it came down to it, I actually told my dad our old car, I was just beating the crap out of it. I mean, it was costing us so much to replace the front end on the car every race that it made sense to build something new. And I actually just wanted a new Class 1 car. I was a buggy dork, and I wanted to, be a buggy dork. And apparently Mike cut my dad a better deal on building a truck than he did a car. So I ended up with a truck, and that's about how that story went. If it was up to me, I would have been, I would have been in a buggy, and if I needed to put a truck body on it, I would have put a truck body on it. But, there's definitely there's a big difference in racing a truck to a buggy. Buggies, especially Class 1 cars, I mean, you drive them as fast as you can to the corner, you brake at the very last moment, you stand on the brakes, you turn the car, and then you stand on the gas. And because they accelerate, you can de-accelerate and accelerate so fast. When you get in the trucks, it becomes a lot more of a momentum thing. They weigh 1500 pounds more. They got a lot more wheel travel, and they like to go straight. They don't like to turn. And, when they start flipping, they start flipping.
Yeah, they just keep going. That's for sure. And that transition to the trucks, man. I mean, you kind of hit the ground running, though. I mean, how was that transition as a driver? Like you said, you've gone from racing the buggies, and it's just complete different driving style. I mean, and a lot of guys go from Class 1 where they've literally had to work their ass off as a driver, and then they get into a trophy truck, and it's like, man, I don't quite have to work as hard, right, to go the same speed.
Yeah, definitely. You're busy in a buggy. I mean, that's my navigator, Derek. He rode with me 2 years in the buggy, and then a year he actually got out of the truck for a year, and then came back in 2016. But we gave him his first experience driving the buggy, actually getting to race it last year. And when he got behind the wheel, that's what he said. He said, "Holy shit! I couldn't believe how busy you are. You were with everything else you were doing." I mean, we were talking, you were flipping lights on, flipping lights off. And he's like, hell, I can barely get a gear shift in because the, turning the steering wheel and everything it takes. So, trucks definitely, like I said, they like to go straight. And, they make them pretty easy to drive, and you just got to be on your toes. Like I learned, I think we qualified second or third at Parker, and I was lead Parker. And unfortunately we had a transmission break, but the following race, the Mint 400, we went out and we won. And then one race later, I looked like a 747 crash site at the Silver State 300.
Well, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute because I do have a question there for that. You set it up, but I was like, I set it up a little bit too early. But, no, that first mid-400 win, man, because that was kind of like, I mean, you'd won races prior to that, you know, but, like, that was a marquee, like, bam. I mean, this is, you know, you've got the Baja 1000 mid-400. Those are the top two anybody wants to win if you're a desert racer, right? You know, how was that? Because it was like you were no longer, not that you were ever under the radar, but it was like you definitely weren't under the radar then.
Yeah, no, that definitely put me on the map as you know, as a driver, I would say, not just a buggy guy, not a truck guy, just, you know, a driver, because we, our success in the buggy and then our, you know, our immediate success in the truck and being fast. And the funny thing about the Mint 400 was, like right off the start, we got a flat right off the start. And luckily we had never changed a tire. We didn't even know how the jack system worked in the truck. And Derek did a phenomenal job changing a tire in under 2 minutes. And then we just started running. And then I don't really know what happened, but we ended up having communication trouble. And my navigator, Derek, couldn't talk to me the entire race. The only time we can talk is going through the speed zones. When the truck was quiet, we can kind of hear each other. So as the race goes on, it's getting dark and we're going up over the bridge. And there was a couple lights in front of us, and he goes, "Oh, that must be I, you know, just say Bryce Menzies." And I said, "Nope, we passed Bryce back at, you know, back on the second lap." And "Oh, this must be this person." "No, we passed them." "Well, it must be Rob McCacken." I said, "No, we passed Rob McCacken like 5 or 10 miles ago. He was changing the driveline." And he asked me, "So who's leading the race?" I said, "We are." And so he had no idea. I mean, he basically rode the entire race, having no idea that we were actually even in contention to win it. And so that was pretty cool, being, you know, having that surprise. And that part of the desert's been really good to me. I've won the Henderson 250 3 years in a row in the buggy. I've won it now twice. You know, two Mint 400s back to back, and now a third Mint 400 in that same desert. So I sure hope they don't change it. And I'm really disappointed to. You know, to see that Las Vegas growing out to that area and, you know, eventually going to lose it in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that being said, the Mint 400, dude, it's been really good to you. Like you said, three overalls. I mean, I think you're the first guy to ever do, you know, to win the Mint overall three times. I mean, you know, what goes into that? Because, I mean, obviously there's really good teams. Everybody's bringing their A game to that one, you guys included. But, man, you guys just – it's like you've got that track, everything dialed. And I guess we're fortunate the last couple of years it's kind of been the same track, you know, and you know, and things like that. But, you know, switch directions here and there. But, like, I mean, you guys are dialed in. What goes into your guys' mind going into that one? Because it's like nobody has anything for you guys. And it doesn't matter who qualifies on the pole, who's where. It's like at the end of the race, here's Justin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's my desert, and you know, I just think it. We get the season off. We get the season started at Parker, and with that race being so close, that I'm just still kind of in that same mindset. You know, I was very fortunate. The second year, I won the Mint 400. The week before, I went and spent the weekend with Jimmy Johnson at the NASCAR Las Vegas race, and go out bike riding. And I got to be around some really, really cool people that were very talented at what they did. I mean, we're talking TJ Lavin, Ben Bostrom, Miguel Duhamel, and Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, I really learned a lot. I absorbed a lot from them on mindset, how to focus. And so I think when I go back to Vegas, I put myself in that same situation, and it all comes back to me. I mean, even – you know, 2 weeks ago at Silver State, you're based out of Las Vegas. And I think that had, you know, I think that had a lot to do with it, and has a lot to do with my success in that area.
Well, and I think Vegas or the Silver State race, that one's interesting, you know, because that one, what happened? Because I know you said your truck wasn't ready. You jumped in one of the U Theory trucks, and, you know, it wasn't a truck you normally drive. I mean, you know, and I know just jumping into different trophy trucks, like, you know, we can all kind of adapt to anything, but still you're in your comfort zone in your truck. You know it, you know, you feel it. I don't know how much test time you had prior, but it had to been just a different feel. I mean, for you to go out and win the first race in that truck, like that's a pretty big deal, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it worked out really well. We're making some changes to my trucks right now. The bad car that we had raced KOH with it, we had raced Mint 400 with it, and then we took it to San Felipe, and all we did when we put one rear end gear in and changed the oil between all three of those races. So she was pretty tired, and I mean, it had 1,700 plus miles on it, and it was ready to be torn down. And then our other truck, we're getting ready for the 500, so it just wasn't going to quite be ready. And I was just going to go up and watch the race, cheer my dad on, and maybe drive around with my wife and my little one. And then I got the phone call from U Theory that Jeff wasn't able to make the race, and they wanted it to run. And they gave me the opportunity, and I'm extremely thankful for it. And I had 20 miles of test time in it the Monday before the race is all I drove that truck. And you're working with John Vance when he was at Jimco. We had a lot of synergy. He was part of a lot of my dad's success and a lot of my success in the buggy. And so we had a lot of synergy going already. And, you know, he told me that the truck was fast, and that's all I need to know. And I was going to take care of the rest of it for him.
And we'll be back with more with Justin Lofton in about 30 seconds. Before we get to that, I got to tell you about one of our great partners here on the show, my friends at MyMedic.com. And you know what? If you're listening to this, you're probably an outdoors person. You're probably an off-road racer. You probably enjoy your Polaris Razors or your dirt bikes. You know what? MyMedic.com, they've got you handled with the best first aid kits on the planet, tailor-made to what we do, whether it's razors, dirt bikes, off-road, hunting, fishing, outdoors, or even if you're just a soccer mom or a soccer dad, MyMedic.com has first aid kits tailor-made for what we do. Check them out, MyMedic.com, and use the coupon code JimBeaver, and it's going to get you 15% off.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
All right, Justin. Well, I want to go back a minute ago. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson, and I know you know Jimmy, and he's actually still in contact with quite a few people in off-road. I know his brothers. I don't know Jimmy personally, but I got to ask. I mean, you know, does he? You know, I know you get around him, and he's got to talk about off-road or this and that. Is this one of those things where it's become like the greatest NASCAR driver of all time? I mean, arguably, you look at the stats, and he's right there, right? I mean, is there some point where he goes, you know, once I retire, it'd be kind of fun to go back and do a little of this off-road stuff?
You know, I sure hope so. And he always, I make sure he knows he always has the opportunity to get in one of my trucks anytime he wants. When anything's going on, Jimmy's an incredible athlete. He's an incredible person. And he's done something that very, very, very few people have done or will ever do. I mean, we're talking names of Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt and, just to name a few, but there's not very many of them. And, to be able to have that opportunity to share that same bond of desert racing is really special. And, it's cool to be around him. And I sure hope he comes out to desert sometime. I don't know what his limitations are contract wise or anything like that, or, you know, really if he just wants to be a fan of it and watch it from the outside in. But, hopefully we'll see him out there in the desert one day. I know Casey Mears has showed up back out in the desert, and
yeah,
it's cool to have Casey out there. And I think a few more guys will end up out our way when they retire from stock car racing.
Yeah, well, it was funny because I actually got to go up on the pagoda at Indy on the spotter stand, and I was up there kind of got invited up there. And it's one of those, you got to have an invite to get up there, you know. And so I'm standing on top of the pagoda, and here's Rick Mears, you know, and so introduced myself, and he knew exactly, you know, the name and stuff like that. And you start talking with him, you know, here's, you know, legend. Let's just put it that way. Guys won the Indy 500, Team Penske. Everybody knows the drill at this point, right? The only and we're standing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Only thing Rick wants to talk about is off-road cars. He wants to talk about his old Chenoweth with, 11 inches of wheel travel. And he starts telling Baja stories. And I'm like, how rad is this that I'm standing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway talking to Rick Mears about off-road? You know, and it was because he wanted to talk about it, not me, you know. But it's like, I think there's one – what I'm saying is I think you got a guy like Jimmy or Rick Mears or, you know, we all know Robbie Gordon. Like, you can go and do NASCAR and pavement racing, but it's like, I don't know, there's something about off-road that just draws you back in, you know.
There's definitely that experience in the unknowing. I mean, you go down there when you go run a peninsula run in Baja, and I got to do my first one 2 years ago at the 50th. I mean, it definitely, the stories and the things that happened. I mean, you can only share that with people that have experienced that same thing, because no one else in the world, they're like, no way. There's not goblins out in the middle of Bay of L.A. that are trying to get you out in the middle of the desert. Well, yeah, there is. There's like ghost cows, and I mean, there's all kinds of different stuff that, you know, that's all figments of your imagination, but you can only share that with the people that have experienced it, because no one else will believe you or have any idea what's going on or anything. So we definitely all share a very unique bond that way. And, you know, it's cool that so many people get to experience every year, and it's not restricted to only people that can qualify, you know, at a certain speed, or there's only so many entries. Now, if you have the money to enter in a class, you get to go experience off-road racing. And so there's, you know, we definitely all have a unique bond that way.
Yeah, and I think that's what's funny. You never know who you're going to see on, say, a Mint 400 or a Baja entry list or something like that. Like, these random names. I mean, like you'd mentioned Jimco earlier. We got, you know, Bobby Patton, the owner of the Dodgers. Now, all of a sudden, he's got bit by the off-road bug, you know. It's like, how rad is that? You know, here's a guy who could do anything in the world, and he's choosing to be in an off-road truck, you know. And to me, like, that's rad, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, how many times do you get to go race against the, you know, Jensen Button race in the Mint 400? I mean, I never would have got a race against Jensen Button in my life. I mean, I grew up watching him, you know, race Formula One cars, and I actually got to go up and bump him. I mean, yeah. Like, hey, this is my territory. You know, this is my Monaco. Get out of my way.
Yeah. And you can honestly say, hey, I beat Jensen Button, right? So.
Yep. It doesn't matter if he's in a different class or if it was the first time. I still can say I beat Jensen Button.
Exactly. Well, I got to ask, man, as we kind of wind this thing down, got a couple of questions left for you, though. But first, big one, man. I know you went and did Stadium Super Trucks, and I see, you know, obviously your pavement background and stuff like that, man. Is the short course side of things ever interested you? I know it's crazy money just like running trophy trucks and stuff like that, but you know, you're a guy who has been able to put business plans together and fundraising and find money and things like that. I mean, you know, I got to think you'd be wicked quick in a Pro 2 or something like mm-hmm. that, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's interested me. You know, to be quite honest, it looked. I went to a couple races and started looking very political. So that was something that turned me off. And then the other thing that turned me off is I want to be somewhere cool during the summer months. I don't want to be at Glen Helen when it's 110.
Yeah.
And to race, you know, to race a 5-minute race. I mean, that's. Even a 15-minute race, it's a lot of effort, and so it just haven't looked into, you know, putting it together, and but it would be, I would have an absolute blast doing it. I know I would, and it's just kind of something that I just hasn't, you know, haven't wanted to use up my time that I have to go do it.
Yeah, I can see you as like a Crandon Labor Day kind of guy, right? Where it's a little bit better weather.
Exactly.
You know, you kind of hang out on the lake in the evenings, and like, you know, it's, plus they've got, you know, it's just super high speed and stuff like that. You know, I could totally see you as a Crandon guy.
Yep. I definitely do that. And like I said, I'd run any of it. It's just if it was something that I was going to have to, you know, use my own money to go run, I'd rather go, you know, spend it with my family or just be able to put more of that effort into my off-road program. And, you know, the next couple of years, my goal is going to be to get a Baja 500 win and a Baja 1000 win. So I've got to use my time wisely, got to use my resources wisely, and make sure I can accomplish that.
Yeah. So what's, I know obviously, you know, you guys, you're in the cattle business. What's day to day? I know you mentioned you're in Texas now. What's day to day Justin Lofton life look like? I know we text last week and you told me you were like at a cattle convention on the East Coast or something like that. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing on a daily basis now, Justin?
Yeah. So my day to day is, you know, it's roughly about 6:30 a.m. You know, I live out here in Plainview, Texas, Lockney, Texas, and we have and this is where our expansion yard is, Western Cattle Feeders. And I'm kind of the general manager, day-to-day manager. So we've got 38-plus employees that I oversee. We've got over 40,000 head of cattle that need to be fed, watered, taken care of every day. So got lots of pieces of equipment on the that on the yard. I think in my Last Stop Beef episode, when we were out there for the Silver State 300, we actually went and visited a Caterpillar dealership in Las Vegas for one of our operations in California. So it's not all play when we go racing. We were actually out looking at equipment and ended up purchasing that particular loader. But you know, I was at the Cat dealership out here in Texas looking at one of my loaders that was in for service. And so it just, it whatever it takes to get the job done is what I have to do. I was out mowing weeds on a large tractor 2 days ago. So there is no job too big, too small, and I usually get stuck with the ugly ones.
Well, and I know you're one of the few guys, too, and this kind of started when you were racing NASCAR, but I wish a lot of guys would follow suit, you know, in this industry, but you've got Justin Lofton Foundation. You know, I know it's something that every single year I see, you know, something going on, whether it be a golf tournament or this or that, but, you know, how did that whole foundation get started? Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that's, honestly, there's so many guys in this industry that have been really well, you know, successful, and it's just one of those things I see, you know, I'm like, man, I wish a lot of guys would follow suit and do things like that, you know?
Yeah, so our foundation, Justin Lofton Foundation, started next year, so what would it be, 2020 will be its 10th year. It started out really as an in-between gap when I moved from ARCA the series to the Truck Series. I had like 4 months off. I'd attended all these golf tournaments, and I was kind of like trying to find a way to keep myself busy. And I said, you know what, I want to put on a golf tournament. I want to put on a golf tournament better than anyone that I went to this year. And so when that rumor got started, I was actually approached by our local Imperial Valley Boys and Girls Clubs and said, hey, we have this golf tournament, but we're not doing very good at it. We don't have good attendance. We're not raising any money. In fact, it's costing us money. Would you mind taking over a tournament for us? And so we did exactly that. I flew out friends, the Bodines, Crafton, a couple other, my truck owner at the time. I flew all them out from North Carolina. We brought people from all over the country and had 100-plus golfers. I think, you know, the first couple of years we did really well because we did some NASCAR type giveaways, NASCAR experiences, so it eventually evolved from being their Boys and Girls Club to my wife going to school. She got her master's in nonprofit management. The following year we transitioned it to our own foundation. We have the Justin Lofton Foundation 501c3. And so over the last 9 years, we've donated $330,000 to the Imperial Valley Boys and Girls Clubs. My wife actually just did a check presentation yesterday to the Imperial Valley 4-H Committee for $7,000 to send kids back to the National 4-H Convention in Louisville, Kentucky next year. We're looking, so January 19th, 2020 is our 10-year anniversary, and we're looking to make it bigger and better than we ever have, and hoping we can raise lots of money just continue it going. There's definitely a lot of work, but there's a lot of joy that comes from it and a lot of good things.
Yeah. So what's next for you before we let you go, man? I know you kind of, it seems like you've been concentrating on the Best in the Desert stuff a bit. We're going to see you at the 500 and the 1,000 this year. Kind of what's the rest of calendar year look like for Justin Lofton?
It looks really busy. we're getting ready to be heading to Mexico next week. Going to start pre-running for the Baja 500. Like I said, we went to San Felipe 250. We ended up with an 8th place finish. We entered that race with a sheer goal. I mean, every racer enters a race to win, but realistically with the truck and the resources we had for that particular race, we wanted a good starting spot for the 500. So we're taking a fresh bullet down to the 500. We're going to go give it all we got and hopefully come away with a win. If not, at least a very competitive, finish that everyone knows there. And then same thing, we'll load it up for Vegas to Reno. Run the Lucerna 400 for our starting spot for the 1,000, go try to win the 1,000.
Yeah, so by chasing the 500 and the 1,000, by default, you're actually running for score points the way they work everything, right?
yep, that's exactly what we're doing. Ultimately, as cool as it, I mean, it would be amazing to win the 500 and the 1,000, and those are definitely races I want to win before I retire from off-road racing. I definitely want to spend a year or two running a number one on the side of my truck, whether it's in Best in Desert or Score, because, people try to discredit what it takes to run for a championship, but you know, it's a very rewarding thing, not only for myself, but for my crew and all the guys that put the time and effort in, that the following year, everyone knows we were the team to beat the entire year. And so I'm searching for that big number one, and if not in both series, at least in one series.
Nice. Well, Justin, man, it was fun catching up, buddy. You know, this is one of those interviews, like I said, I had you earmarked as one of the guys, the top five guys. I was like, there's more to him. I want to know the story here, man. So I appreciate you taking the time coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
All right, that's all we've got for this week here on the Full Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Make sure, if you haven't already, go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the show. You're going to get both this show and the Down and Dirty Show National Show. Check us out on the website, downanddirtyshow.com. And also, while you're at it, check out Project Action on Podcast One. Guest this week, Street Bike Tommy. National Show guest this week, James Hinchcliffe, Sebastian Bourdais, Colton Herta. So, man, we've got all across the board here. Action sports, off-road, IndyCar. We got you dialed in on the three shows. So thank you guys once again. It is at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. If you want to give me a follow, would love to hear your feedback on the show. And, you know, and thanks for all the kind words you guys have spread so far. I'll be back next week with another off-road edition. Who knows who the guest will be? Maybe we'll go deep into our bag of tricks and pull somebody out for next week. Anyways, hopefully you guys have a great week. If you're out at Moab at Rally on the Rocks, be safe. If you're up at Flagstaff for the Overland Expo, have a good time. And if you're down in Mexico at Estero Beach for the Lucas Oil Short Course Race, have a beer and a taco for me. We'll see you next week right here on the Full Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.